everyone. I think we're ready to get started again. I need to introduce two new speakers we have with us today. The first is Katrine Bach-Habersat, who's from the WHO Regional Office for Europe, and she's online, so you'll hear her voice over the audio. The other person is Sergiu Tomsa, who is right here in front of us. Hello? He is from the UNICEF Euro office, so both from the Euro office, and they're here to talk about some resources available from their regions. So, Katrine, if you can hear us, we're going to turn it over to you.
All right, thank you. Hello, everyone. I see some friendly faces in the room. I think I know some of you. I'm sorry I couldn't be there with you, but thank you for inviting me to just give a brief overview of the materials that we have in the European region. So Leah, I need to see my slides on the screen. Can you share the slides on the screen with me?
Sorry.
The only one I can see is Sergiu.
Can you show her slides on the screen now for her?
I can move.
Can you show her the slides?
Everyone show the slides.
Yeah. Okay, we're working on it.
It's all right.
Yeah,
I think if you just share screen with me, maybe I can just see the slides on the screen. Like you did yesterday.
Okay, we're working on it.
Right.
Yeah, click that, and then there should be a share screen.
I think it worked what you did before. I could see my presentation.
Okay, he thinks he's sharing now. Can you see it?
No, but I saw it before, and then it disappeared.
Oh, no.
Hi, Katrine. We're just running a little behind. I wonder if you could just tell us to advance the slides while we're still working on this.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so I'll have to try and remember my slides without actually seeing them. All right, so just one slide ahead. If you can shift the slide.
It's shifted.
All right, thank you. So the I'm going to just, as Leah mentioned, I'm with the Vaccine Preventable Diseases and Immunization Program in the WHO Regional Office for Europe, and I am responsible for our activities related to vaccine acceptance and demand, and I'm just going to give you a quick overview of the activities that we have, a few tools and training opportunities that we have in that field. And these are the five areas that I'm going to touch upon, related to vaccine safety communications and behavioral insights, new vaccine introduction, school education and facing anti-vaxxers in a public debate. And for each of these, I'm just going to give you one or two quick country examples. Next slide, please. So the first area relates to vaccine safety and crisis communication. We've developed a background document. You can see it there. It's available online as well. And we've also established an online library with the supporting documents. And next slide, please. It's just an example of one of those documents. I think there are 25 documents there. So lots of different examples of documents that are for preparing for crisis and responding to crisis. And just as an example, this is a checklist for preparedness that any country can use to start and inspire discussions about whether we really have the capacity and the structures and the collaboration with stakeholders that we need. Next slide. This is another example. This is on stakeholder management, also inspiration on how you can work with stakeholders to prevent and also to respond to a crisis. Next one. Just another example of supporting document tips for spokespersons. Next slide. And we have a training program, which is like we adapt it to any country we go to. It can be a 1, 2, 3, or 4 day training. It's quite engaging, and we have quite a lot of case basics, group work, and a simulation exercise as well. And next slide, the country example that I wanted to just briefly touch upon is the work that we are currently doing and the work that is currently ongoing in Uzbekistan to support and build capacity for responding to vaccine safety related events and crisis. And it started with a training workshop, and as an outcome of that workshop and other work ongoing in the country, a need was identified to develop a few additional documents, including a vaccine crisis communication manual, including a document specifically on the HPV vaccine, because the country just introduced the vaccine, and based on formative research, we developed a few potential crisis scenarios with specific key messages for each of those scenarios. And also the country has just developed a new national guideline for AAVIs, and a specific communications chapter was developed for that. And now in December, a follow-up training will be conducted, building on the first one, but on an advanced level, and also to introduce these three new documents that have been developed. Next slide, please. The second area I wanted to just touch upon is our tailoring immunization programs, our TIP approach, which is our behavioral insights approach. Basically, it builds on behavioral insights theory and models, and supports countries in understanding who the under-vaccinated population groups are and what their barriers to vaccination are, and use those insights to inform the design of interventions to increase vaccination coverage. And you can see there the new TIP guidance document. It's brand new. It's a further development of the original one, but it's much more user-friendly and describes in much more detail the exercises that any country can go through to obtain these insights and develop them and use them to develop interventions. Next slide, please. I'm not going to go into the details of the TIP document, but it's founded on three key pillars: a process description, a theoretical model, which has been elaborated for vaccination specifically, and a set of values and principles that will guide TIP processes in countries. And next slide, this is an area again where we do capacity building. And we have initiated 3 years ago an annual event, an annual Behavioral Insights Summer School with the University of Erfurt in Germany, where immunization program staff and Ministry of Health staff are trained in behavioral insights work. And next slide, quite a lot of countries have used the TIP approach for very different types of behavioral insights projects. And next slide, just to give a couple of examples. This is from Kyrgyzstan, and I'm not sure now whether, because I'm not seeing the animated version, so I don't know if you see only the box in the middle.
Oh, yes, we see the box in the middle.
Okay, so I'm just going to say click for every time. Okay, so click. This process starts with a comprehensive situation analysis, and click. No, please don't go to the next slide. I have to stay with Kyrgyzstan. But you click on the little boxes.
We got it.
Yeah? Is it okay?
Yes.
So I'm still with situation analysis, which is the first pink box. And then and stakeholder engagement. And that led to the design of our formative research phase, which included a legislation review and a focused research study with the most vulnerable among internal migrants that travel from rural areas to urban areas in pursuit of income and employment. And those studies and the insights from these allowed us to design a few interventions. And I need you to click a few times now up until the yellow box. Yeah?
Got it.
All right. And some of those interventions, the first one included a new ministerial order. Basically, what was uncovered from the legislation review was that there was, despite the constitutional right to vaccination of everyone, regardless of their residence, regardless of where they lived, there was other legislation which encumbered that right, because people were obliged to have a certain registration status, and to obtain that they needed signatures of different people, and they needed to do that if they wanted to register with a new health facility. And it was difficult to get those signatures. So basically, there was other legislation which prevented them from getting their constitutional rights of vaccination. This new ministerial order clarifies that the right to vaccination goes above the other provisions. So this is an important outcome from that legislation review. Other activities include, and you have to click again, training of healthcare workers on this ministerial order, but on other issues as well that were identified. So I'm now with Armenia. I need to stay with Kyrgyzstan for a minute. Can someone click me back?
Can you go back to Kyrgyzstan? Here you go.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And click again. So the interventions are... The research that we did has also informed the UNICEF activities in Kyrgyzstan. They're doing a lot of outreach activities with the urban migrants, and we're working quite closely in Kyrgyzstan on this issue. And all of our activities, of course, will be monitored and evaluated. And then the next one is Armenia, and you can click the boxes on. There are seven little boxes. You can click them on, and I'll go quickly through them because it's difficult when the animations are too many. But basically in Armenia, as you can see, it's the same type of process, a very comprehensive situation analysis, looking at coverage data, media coverage, and a lot of other things, and a stakeholder workshop. And that led us to, and led the immunization program in Armenia to conduct a research study focusing on medical specialists who do not vaccinate themselves, but who provide advice to parents about vaccination. And the insights from that study allowed to develop a strategy specifically for health workers with seven targeted interventions, of which some will be conducted this year and the next year, and will be evaluated as well. Next slide. So the next area, the third area I wanted to briefly touch upon, is on new vaccine introduction, where we're working with a range of countries to do formative research to inform the communication strategies for introduction of those vaccines. And we have developed a field guide for doing such formative research that you can see there. It's available online as well. And click. These are just a few countries that we've worked with in this area. As you can see, the vaccine is being introduced most frequently now is HPV, but we also worked on Rocha for Kyrgyzstan. And then, I don't know if you need to click again to get the peer-reviewed paper up, but if you'd like to read a little bit more about what we did in those countries, there's a very recent paper out on the HPV introduction formative research we did in Armenia, Georgia, and the Republic of Moldova. And I wanted to just briefly, if you go to the next slide, elaborate on the value of doing such formative research. In Moldova, Sigmund Nielsen, my colleague who's been driving most of this work related to new vaccine introduction, She evaluated the approach, and as part of that, she interviewed the team in the Republic of Moldova who was responsible for introducing and planning the introduction of the HPV vaccine. And she interviewed them before and after conducting the formative research. And so first she asked them about the young girls and whether they thought that they had heard any rumors about the HPV vaccine. And the team said, well, yes, we think they've probably heard a little bit, but we don't think very much. And then I think you may need to click. Yeah. And so what they realized from this formative research was that there was that the girls knew much more about the rumors about HPV or misperceptions about HPV, and it was actually much more exaggerated than they'd expected. So they were, you know, what are you thinking when we say HPV vaccine? And they say things like paralysis and coma and infertility and a strategy to reduce population in poorer countries. And they heard about this online and through social media. So that was actually not the situation that they had expected. And then next slide. And next slide. Oh, sorry, yeah, that one. On the mothers, they also asked them whether they, you know, what do you think mothers generally think about vaccination? Do they trust health workers? And then I think you may need to click. What they found in the formative research was that they were actually more hesitant to vaccination in general than the team had expected. And also, some of them said they trusted their health workers, but some of them also said, well, health workers are mainly vaccinated because they have quotas to fill and they get paid. So there was some distrust. And if you click to the next slide, this was the conclusion from one of the staff members who was responsible for introducing their vaccine. And they said, basically what parents said was almost completely different from what we expected, including their knowledge of the benefits of vaccination and their sources of information about it. So they learned a lot from that formative research. Last two things I just wanted to briefly touch upon. Next slide, please. The first one is our new project, which is a game-based school module for children on vaccines and the immune system. And the game has six modules, and it includes online assignments as well as analog group assignments, which you have to do in the classroom, and then your teacher will grade you according to your analog assignments, and that will help you in the online game. And we piloted it recently in Ukraine, and if you click to the next slide, we worked in 11 schools with children aged 10 to 12 year olds and did quite a comprehensive evaluation with qualitative observations and interviews, but also with statistical analysis of data from these pupils who completed the game, and also a control group that only completed the analog assignments. And if you click again, it was interesting to learn that there were quite significant learning outcomes related to the learning objectives of the immune system and vaccines. And we could see that it was significantly higher for those who completed the entire game and not compared with those who only completed analog group assignments in the classroom, even if they received the same type of information. And the last thing I just wanted to touch upon, if you click again, is our guidance on responding to, we call them vocal vaccine deniers, you might call them anti-vaxxers, in a public debate. Now, this is not about face-to-face interaction with a hesitant person or a refuser. This is about the public debate or the TV or radio interview where you are faced with an anti-vaxxer. And this is a situation that immunization program managers find themselves in our region quite a lot, and they were asking for guidance. And we developed this guidance document and a training program, and it was key-authored by Philip Schmidt from the University of Erfurt. And basically what he included was some general advice on being a good speaker and a good listener, but also he managed to identify the five key topics and the five key oratory or rhetoric techniques that anti-vaxxers tend to use. And what we have learned from people who've taken the training and people who have used the guidance document is that knowing those five topics and those five techniques helps you prepare in a much more targeted way, and it gives them some tools to respond to those allegations that are often raised and that are completely on evidence-based from anti-vaxxers, and it gives them more confidence in that interaction. And we have a training program on that as well. And then next slide, that's it. And this is the team, because we're of course more people than just one person working on these different topics.
Thank you very much. Do we want to take questions now, or should we hold until after Sergio? Katrine, do you have time to hold until after Sergio for questions?
I can do that.
Okay, great.